You're listening to a Dwell Community Church production. If you'd like to check out more resources, visit dwellcc.org.
I thought that when we have these potlucks, that on these monthly potlucks, I will take a break from our series. We've been studying through some of the Psalms, and I want to, on these potluck monthly meetings, focus on something else, which may even be more helpful for any guests that you might invite. Namely, I want us to begin to look at, during these monthly meetings, at the many invitations that Jesus issued. You know, when you think about Jesus's public ministry, we know that he did a lot of preaching and teaching. We know that he healed a lot of people. We know that he spent a lot of time training his disciples. But he also issued a lot of invitations to people. I want us to look this morning at one of his most well-known invitations, and it's found at the end of Matthew chapter 11. And it goes like this: "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You know, they're all the time telling us seniors that we need to keep our brains challenged at this stage of life, do more crossword puzzles, maybe even try to learn the rudiments of another language. It's supposed to be good for your brain. I think one of the best ways we can do that is to take little passages like this and try to memorize them. You will find that if you just simply try to do that, it'll help your brain, but it'll help more than that, and you'll find a passage like this coming alive to you when you least expect it and in ways that you really could not have predicted. So I want us just to spend our time this morning taking a closer look at this invitation by focusing on three things that this passage illuminates for us, which is who it is that Jesus is inviting, who's he extending this invitation to. Secondly, what exactly is he offering through this invitation? And then thirdly, how does he call on us to respond to this invitation? Every invitation invites a response, right? So if we just look at this passage a little bit more carefully, I think those three things will really help us to understand what he's saying here. First of all, who is Jesus inviting? And you notice that the key word in that underlined phrase is all who are weary and heavy laden. If you look at Matthew 11, then you will find that Jesus was not speaking just to his small group of disciples when he said this. In fact, earlier in chapter 11, verse 7, we're told that he was speaking to a great multitude of people. So this invitation is being directed purposefully to all the hundreds, possibly thousands of people who were present. And I think implicitly, it is a universal invitation. You'll find, as we study other invitations by Jesus, that they all have the stamp of being something invitations that he's extending to all people of all times. And of course, Jesus was resurrected, and he is and remains the living Christ who is extending this invitation to all people from all nations and at all times, which means he's extending this invitation to you and to me. He's extending it specifically to people who are weary and heavy laden. That's what kind of, this passage is kind of hauntingly attractive. That's how I've always found it. And it's been especially attractive to me when I've been acutely aware of the fact that I'm weary and heavy laden. Now, when he speaks of the weary and the heavy laden, he's not speaking only about physical weariness or physical exhaustion. That would encompass that, but it goes beyond that. Really, what he's saying is, I'm giving this invitation to everyone who knows that they're exhausted from trying to carry the many burdens of life. And we think not only of physical exhaustion, we can think of psychological exhaustion, just the exhaustion that comes from day after day, year after year, life in this fallen world coming at you and presenting you with challenges, responsibilities, burdens. They just keep coming. And so, if you are here this morning and you're feeling especially competent regarding the burdens of life, then this invitation is not for you. Wouldn't be that appealing to you. The competent are not, they're not attracted to an invitation. This is only for people, it's for everyone. That is, everyone who is willing to say, even if silently in our heart of hearts, I can't keep up with life. The burdens of life are greater than I can bear. This is for you, Jesus says. And what is it that he's inviting us to receive? Well, it's clear. I will give you rest. You will find rest for your souls. This rest, we can tell from this passage alone, is not merely physical rest, because he says you'll find rest for your, doesn't say bodies, for your souls. He's speaking of an inner rest, or a rest for our souls, our spirits. And he's not talking about the rest of complacency, a rest which involves cessation of all activity. How do we know that? Because he says in verse 29 that this rest involves taking his yoke upon you. And a yoke is an instrument of labor. Right? It seems paradoxical, doesn't it? Because when we think of rest, we think of nap, right? Of doing nothing. And he's like, no, that's not the kind of rest that I'm talking about. That may be what's most appealing to you right now, but it's not the rest that's really going to help you the most. In fact, as we get older and have more time on our hands, sometimes we find that that kind of rest makes things worse, right? No, the word here, rest, is the Greek word anapao. And the Greek lexicons say that this means to be refreshed. And there are four times in Paul's letters when he speaks of how the coming of certain Christian brothers and sisters has refreshed his spirit. So I will give you refreshment to your spirit. The lexicon says, it means to be of a calm and patient expectation. So this is a kind of peace also mingled with hope. You know what it's like when you've been in a situation that's over your head, and then someone comes and helps you so you no longer feel overwhelmed and you feel like, yeah, this is going to work out. And you even begin to now look forward to what comes next, which rather than to dread it. That's the kind of rest that he's talking about here. In Romans chapter 15, verse 13, Paul utters a prayer for all the Christians there in Rome. He said, now may the God of hope fill you with joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. He's talking about the very same thing. May the God of hope fill you with joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, what's most striking in this little passage to me is an implicit claim that Jesus is making about himself, right? He says, come to the psychiatrist and he'll give you rest. Devise your own self-care plan and you will find rest for your soul. He does not say that. He makes a staggering claim. He's uttering an invitation to a universal audience, millions of people, and he says, you just come to me and I will give you this rest. Now, right there, Jesus is making an implicit claim to be God, because there's only one person in the universe who is capable of attending to every individual with this kind of care and attention, and that's God. God, the God of the Bible, is an infinite personal God. He's a person, so we can relate to him as a person, but because he's infinite, he can relate to each individual with his full attention. Isn't that a staggering and wonderful truth? And here is Jesus saying, I'm that person. I'm the person that you can come to, and I'll give you that rest. And in case that doesn't make clear that he's claiming to be God, then you see that little phrase at the end of verse 29, and you will find rest for your souls. You see how that's all in capital letters? That's the translator notifying us that here Jesus is quoting an Old Testament passage. And look at the passage that he's quoting. He's quoting Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. Thus says the Lord. This is the word Yahweh, God's name for himself. Thus says the Lord, stand by the ways and see and ask for the ancient paths, where the good way is, and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. Now, who said this? The Lord said this. Who applies this quote to himself? Jesus does. No other founder of any world religion has ever claimed the ability to himself give rest for our souls. Buddha, Muhammad, Confucius, they all pointed away from themselves to a moral principle or a set of religious observances. Buddha to the ninefold path, Muhammad to the five pillars, Confucius to the Tao, to the moral law of the universe. Jesus alone points to himself. I can give you, I want to give you this kind of peace. And as I mentioned earlier, but just to put a point on it, no doctor, no counselor, no therapist, no pastor is able to give you this kind of rest. And I am personally, I don't know the right verb, I'm torn up by how much additional anxiety and depression and hopelessness there is in our culture as a result of this pandemic. And what tears me up more is that people are being pointed to, and I'm not against doctors, therapists, counselors, pastors. They can do some things, but they cannot give this kind of rest. I sure know I can't give this rest to anyone. but Jesus can. At least Jesus claims that he can. And so that brings us to that third question that we want to ask of this passage, which is how is it that he says we should respond to this amazing invitation? And here, I think it gets a little bit more complicated for us. That is, that I think he invites a twofold response. I think there's a distinction between the first answer, which is, come to me, and his second answer, take my yoke upon you. I think we'll see that they're different. And I think the order is super important as well. What he says, first of all, if you want me to give you rest, then come to me. This refers, I believe, to the initial decision that he over and over asks us to make, to come to him in a fundamental way as our Savior. You'll see in the weeks and the monthly potlucks ahead how over and over again this phrase, come to me, means come to me as your Savior, right? Now, this is not complicated. And it's a real drag when Christians overcomplicate this. You and I know what it's like to be overwhelmed, so overwhelmed that we just come to someone in that overwhelmed state and say, help. When I was maybe in third grade, my family went on a vacation to Canada, and it was on Georgian Bay. And so in the morning, you know, I went out to play by the beach, and some other kids my age were playing there. In fact, they were members of a couple of other families who had been invited on this vacation. And as the morning went on, it did not go well. I mean, they started teasing me. It's like they all knew each other, and they started teasing me, and they'd say, let's do this. And when I would try to do it with them, then they'd make fun of me because I didn't do it well. And I mean, I wasn't a very thin-skinned kid. But by the end of the morning, I was at my wit's end. And I will never forget, at a certain point, just going to my mom, who was on this porch enjoying the sunshine, and throwing my arms around her and telling her, I can't do this. Help me. It's one of those memories that is so precious to me, because I think not only was it so important for me in that moment, but I think really it was a picture of what God knew that I needed to do as a person. If you have ever gone helpless to someone to rescue you from burdens that are too great for you to bear, then you know how to go to Jesus. You know how to come to Jesus. That's all it means. We come to him with empty hands. We come to him. I mean, when I came to Jesus, and it was in this month, 51 years ago, I didn't come to him and say, oh, Lord Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, I am full of moral violations against your character, and I need for you to forgive me. That would have been an excellent way to come to Jesus. But you know, when I came to Jesus that night, I just said, oh, Jesus, if you're real, if you exist, I need you because I don't know how to run my life. And that was good enough. That was good enough. So he says, if you want this rest that I want to give you, then you need to come to me. And if you come to me, I'll give you this rest. And I think at the heart of this rest that results from coming to Jesus is, it's whether we know it at the time or not. I didn't really know it at the time or not. The rest that he's speaking of is the rest of being reconciled to God. No wonder I'm overwhelmed with life. I'm separated from God. I'm trying to live this life by my own resources. separated from God. And this is the rest then of being reconciled to God, being at peace with God, Paul says, and being now assured of being accepted by God from this point forward. Paul says in Romans 5, therefore, once we are put right in God's sight through faith in Jesus Christ, we have peace with God. And again, a lot of times when you come to Jesus, you don't even really know that that's... I could not have articulated that. But I know that the next day, when I woke up, and I still felt sad from because of things that had happened in my life the previous day, there was a sense that I could not put into words. It wasn't dramatic. It wasn't ecstasy. Someone asked me about it just the other day. What did you experience when you received Christ? I said, well, it was like I had this sense that I'd come home. I didn't know how else to put it. I had the sense that now I was home in some very important way. So maybe for some of you here this morning, this is your move. This is what you need to understand. This is the step that you need to take. If you're here saying, well, I'm not able to bear all the burdens that come upon me, then maybe your step is to come to Jesus in this sense for the first time. And if you do that, he'll give you rest. And he'll give you rest in a way that you can experience, and he'll give you rest in a way that is uniquely suited for you. I know other people say, when I came to Jesus, this and this happened to me, and I can't relate to that. He gave me the experience of his rest that I needed most. And he'll do that for you. Now, as I mentioned, there's a second way, that a second response that Jesus articulates, and I think that it is important to note, first come to me. And then the second response that he articulates is, take my yoke upon you. Well, that's a very interesting phrase. Take my yoke upon you. And I'm pretty convinced this is referring to what is usually a subsequent decision after you've come to Jesus. And it's the invitation to become his lifelong disciple, to become his lifelong student apprentice. Why do I say that? Well, for one thing, after he says, take my yoke upon you, what's the next thing he says? Learn from me. Right? So whatever taking Jesus's yoke upon us means, it means to become a student of his. So we not only come to Jesus because we're overwhelmed with life's demands, but then we realize he's inviting us to something else, to be his lifelong student, where we let him teach us about how to do life. The other reason why I say this decision means to become his lifelong disciple, student, apprentice is because of that phrase, take my yoke upon you. You know what a yoke is. There are single yokes and double yokes. He has clearly a double yoke in mind. And to take on Jesus's yoke, to get in his yoke, means that you're deciding to be a co-laborer with him. You're deciding to, with him, work toward his purposes, his mission. And you're doing it with him. Now, it's interesting. You can read the Jewish literature of this time period, and we know that rabbis at this time period, when people would come to them for religious guidance or whatever, they would say to them commonly, take the yoke of the law upon yourself. In other words, their answer would be, here's the rule book. Go at it. If you've ever tried to do that, you know that's a surefire recipe for becoming weary and heavy laden. Because the commands of the Old Testament law are rigorous. They require perfection. No one can ever keep them fully. And so when people would come to the rabbis for help and they would say, take the yoke of the law upon yourself, they were being guided into more weariness and exhaustion. Or they were going to begin to move down a path even worse, which would be to become self-righteous and think that you were actually keeping the law when you weren't. Then you become a fake. And so this statement would have really struck the people in the crowd, because they knew what the rabbis said about taking up the yoke of the law. Jesus says, no, take my yoke upon you. He doesn't point them to a rule book. Again, he points them to himself. And he says, I'm in a yoke. You remember in John 5, Jesus said, I don't do anything from my own initiative. I see what my Father is doing, and I do it with him. My Father leads me. My Father guides me. My Father empowers me. And I'm in the yoke with him and following his lead. And he's using that exact same idea and inviting applying it to us and him. He says, in a like way, you can get in the yoke with me. And I'll supply the heavy lifting. I'll supply the instruction. And you don't need to worry about my instruction being shaming or humiliating. Because what does he say about his learning from him? I'm a gentle and humble teacher. I love that so much, that Jesus Christ is my personal tutor. He's my personal yoke fellow. He's very authoritative. No one more authoritative than him. But he's gentle, and he's humble. And we might add, and he's patient, and he's merciful. So it becomes then a joy and an invigorating to learn from him and to do the work of God with him. And what is the work of God? Well, the work of God, Jesus said, is to learn how to love. To learn how to love God. I don't know how to love God. None of us comes into this world knowing how to love God. The work that Jesus calls us to, the work that he's doing that he wants us to do with him, is to learn how to love God and then to learn how to love people. Learn how to love our neighbors. Learn how to love my brothers and sisters. The very things that are overwhelming and wearying to me by myself become a source of rest and refreshment when I'm in the yoke with Jesus. Most of you have come to Jesus, like me, years ago. And so most of you have experienced that rest of being reconciled to God and forgiven by God and assured of God's acceptance. And most of you, like me, as the years go by, know that this rest described in verse 29 and 20 and 30 comes and goes. Right? Comes and goes. And it comes and goes, we eventually learn, depending upon whether we're choosing to be in the yoke with Jesus. I'm not the only one in this room who, as a true Christian, has tried to turn Jesus into my butler to facilitate my agenda for life. In fact, I think as you go on in the Christian life, you begin to realize how naturally and how often we try to do that. And he'll never submit to being our butler. He loves us too much to submit to being our butler. And invariably, when we try to get him to be our butler, the rest goes away. Or, like me, you have come to Christ and you've realized that I now have the option to work, be a laborer for God, to work to accomplish what God says is important, which is mainly helping other people come to Jesus and helping other people mature in Jesus. But that, like me, you have spent long periods of time trying to do that by your own wits, by your own power, by your own force of personality. And, you know, it's very exhausting. I can look back over the last 50 years and identify especially several periods of time where I was teaching the Bible and doing the things that I knew were God's will for me to do, but feeling progressively more and more exhausted, progressively more and more aware of the fact that I can't go on like this forever. And, you know, eventually just crying out to God, what's wrong with me? To make a long story short, he's always given me the same basic answer. You need to get back in the yoke with me and serve me with a dependence on me to provide the motivation and the power and the insight and the love so that I can work through you. And then that rest comes back. So it's a great passage. Yeah, the rest then from deciding to become his student, his apprentice, is this refreshing, invigorating rest that results from a life of active and fruitful love relationship with Jesus. I don't know how else to put it. It's active. If you get in the yoke with Jesus, you're going to be active, and we need to be active. Everyone tells us we need to be active. Let's be active in the right thing. And it will be fruitful because Jesus Christ will be working through us to love the people that he loves and guiding us to the people that he wants to love through us. And we'll have the joy of knowing he's working through us. Everyone has to make their own decision about how they respond to his invitation. But we'll have the refreshment of knowing that he's working through me, and my life is a meaningful life. One old saint, I think it was George Mueller, but I'm not sure, who was serving Christ actively into his 90s. I think he died at the age of 92. And late in his life, someone asked him, you know, don't you ever get tired? And he said this. He said, I am sometimes weary in the work, but I am never weary of the work. Isn't that a wonderful way? I'm sometimes weary in the work. Of course, any meaningful work exacts a toll. But I'm never weary of the work because this is the one work that refreshes us as we do it with Jesus Christ. Memorize this passage, 3 verses. And see what the Lord teaches you through it. All right, I'm going to pray for us. Lord, thank you for this invitation that you gave thousands of years ago to an original audience that all are long dead, and yet you gave it to us too. And we thank you, Lord, that you come through on your promises. And this is one of the most precious invitations that you have made to me and to most of us here. So we just thank you, and we pray that as we keep showing up on Thursdays to learn from you, that you'll use these Thursday morning meetings to help us to stay in the yoke with you. And we pray, Lord, for those people that you place in our lives that you are drawing to yourself. Help give us the eyes to see them and to simply invite them to come and learn from you with us. Amen.
Thanks for listening. This has been a Dwell Community Church production.